The project looked at a number of things. I guess the first work package that we carried out in the report was looking at the national scale, what the opportunities for offshore wind were, and doing a fairly high-level map of the offshore wind opportunities around Australia. And so what we see a plentiful resource, particularly along the south of the continent. Bass Strait is one area that really picks up as presenting great opportunities for offshore wind, similarly off southwest Western Australia, along the east coast, New South Wales coast, and into Queensland, and even up into North Queensland, there's opportunities for offshore wind.
Now, the normal wind farms we see dotted across the landscape, they're firmly fixed to the ground. It's usually easy to connect them to the grid. What's an offshore farm look like, and are they easy to connect?
Yeah, so globally, offshore wind is growing very rapidly. So globally, there's about 30 gigawatts of offshore wind installed, predominantly in the UK and in Europe, but growing very rapidly in China. I think last year, China overtook to be the largest developer of offshore wind globally. The majority of that offshore wind installed are what we call fixed platform wind. So they're deployed in relatively shallow depths, less than about 50 or 60 metres, fixed to the seabed, drilled into the seabed. What we're starting to see internationally are the emergence of floating offshore wind systems.
So what sort of energy can be generated on an average size offshore farm? And how big is an average size offshore farm, by the way?
If I put it in the Australian context at the moment, we identified as part of the report about a dozen or so offshore wind projects that are at some level of development around Australia. The most mature of those, it's the Star of the South project off the Gippsland coast. The size of that project is about 2.2 gigawatts. To put that in context, Tasmania's hydro system in total is about 2.6 gigawatts. So as a single project, it's quite large. The other advantage is with offshore wind is offshore wind blows much more consistently than we see onshore. And so the fraction of time that that farm is returning power is probably, well, what we suggest is 10 to 20% percentage points higher than the best of the onshore wind farms that we see.
What about the environmental impacts and concerns there?
We look briefly at some of the environmental issues around offshore wind. One of the points we make is that Australia is certainly not an early adopter of these technologies. There's been a lot of learnings that can be taken from the international developments around these. And these are things like where you might site and planning the siting of these programs so they're not intersecting with migration pathways for birds or cetaceans and such like. And so it's about sensible positioning of these farms. And that's really a recommendation out of this report, is that there's opportunities for offshore wind. There's investment, international investment lined up at the door if Australia wants to go that way. We need to consider offshore wind in our planning as we make fairly significant investment decisions.
Do offshore wind farms generate jobs as well as electricity?
One of the focus areas of our report was to look at the jobs opportunity for an offshore wind sector in Australia. The focus of that piece of work was looking at the size that that workforce would create and also the types of jobs that are created in an offshore wind workforce. And what we find is that maps quite well to the types of jobs and the size of the workforce that exist in our current offshore sectors, whether that's oil and gas, but also elements of our coal workforce. So a focus of the report was around, as we see potential downturn in some sectors, we see growth opportunities in other sectors that map quite well.
And are they expensive to set up and run?
So at the moment, offshore wind in Australia would be expensive in the first couple of projects because we don't have the supply chain in place to support that. Where we expect Australia to get is somewhere in the global average of offshore wind costs, and what we see is they're rapidly decreasing internationally. So at the moment there is an overhead in terms of onshore wind. If we look at the UK, where offshore wind has matured to be a commercial sector, they project that offshore wind will be competitive with onshore wind, equivalent cost to onshore wind by about 2030. And because of the quality of resource and the size of the turbines that can be built in the offshore environment being larger than what you can build onshore, they expect the costs of offshore wind to actually be less than onshore wind by the mid-2030s. So that's one of the reasons why we think offshore wind is perhaps worth looking at closer than what's currently being done in Australia.